You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio. You're listening to Answers for the Family with Alan Cardoza and Dr. Melody Fox right here on LA Talk Radio.
Welcome to another edition of Answers for the Family. I'm your host, Alan Cardoza, and unfortunately, I'm flying solo today as my co-host extraordinaire, psychologist Dr. Melody Fox, is tending to one of her clients. Each week, we will bring you guests that can inspire, educate, and entertain while bringing answers and options to raising children today and in our constantly changing future. We will address issues such as locating a runaway teen, family crisis intervention, building self-esteem, dealing with addictions, and many great ways to keep your family mentally, physically, and spiritually sound. Now, having over 30 years' experience working with families in crisis, I've been fortunate to meet and work with some of the top professionals in many of the helping fields who are working to make this world a better place for all of us. And we'll continue to bring you some of these incredibly talented and caring people each week as we bring you Answers for the Family. Now, our topic today is positive outcomes of residential care. As many of you know, here at West Shield, we transport a lot of kids to a lot of programs. And I've been really fortunate, again, to be able to go to visit the campuses to see some of these young people, not only when we bring them, which at times when we're bringing them to a program, they're not real happy with us. But at the same time, going back to those programs and being able to see some of these young people and see the life in their eyes really tells us that we're doing the right thing and we're seeing a lot of great things happening. Now, our guests today are Gary Fleur and Charles McGann. Now, Gary is someone that I have known for some time, and I know that in 1991, he came back to Yellowstone Boys Ranch to become the VP of Support Services. And for the past 20 years, Gary's been involved in really what is now called, you know, Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch in many, many capacities. He is currently responsible for the Transitional Skills Program and Vocational Education for the Residential Services Division. Now, besides that, he has been raising four children of his own, and he has helped raise hundreds of youth that have come through to reside at Yellowstone. Now, he is married to his wife, Karen, for 36 years, and Gary shared with me that he loves spending time with her, their grown children, and their grandchildren while finding time to do a little hunting and fishing when he can. When asked what his passion is, Gary replied, after his own family, it's to help kids learn a strong work ethic, develop life skills, becoming healthy and confident in who they are, and securing a job or career for their future. Now, Charles, known as Mac, is the guidance counselor for Yellowstone Academy. He earned a Bachelor of Science degree in education and psychology, the latter earning a master's degree in guidance and counseling. He has been an educator now for 39 years, married for 38 of those to his wife, Patty. When asked about his passion, Charles has replied, his wife, his two children, Jenny and Corey, and going to sporting events and riding his Harley over the Beartooth Pass and through Yellowstone Park. Gentlemen, welcome to Answers for the Family.
Good morning, Alan. Thanks for having us.
Good morning, Alan.
All right. Bet you didn't know that I did a little snooping to learn a little bit about you. Well, as we brought up, we really want to talk a lot about the positive outcomes of residential care. This is something that I know a little bit about, but it doesn't mean that our listeners do. We have a lot of parents out there that maybe be in a situation to where they've thought about it, maybe somebody's recommended it, maybe even they have another family where they know, you know, the other family has said, well, we sent my child here. It doesn't mean that they really know what goes on in a program. So to start off with, I mean, let's just educate everybody. Tell us a little bit about what the Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch does to help young people.
Okay, well, we'll start off, Alan, with the fact that we're a residential treatment program. The thing that I want to stress right off the bat is our whole entire campus, Alan. I think it's important that people understand, when you think of Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, you're going to think of a ranch, and we are far from a ranch, per se, as far as a ranch in Montana. We are sitting on 400 acres. We're more like a junior college campus is the best way to look at it. We have beautiful buildings, beautiful landscaping. It's a beautiful stream that runs through the campus. So it's a very open and a very friendly place for kids to just come and grow and change. And so the campus invites people to be able to experience rural. Mac and I have been down for the weekend. We've been just thinking about what is the culture, the shock for a young person to come from downtown LA, to come from, you know, San Francisco, wherever they are, Chicago. You know, well, we have kids from all over the country that come to our program. How much it must of a shock it must be for them to be able to come. But as you talked about, to be able to see that young person come, kind of going, where am I? What is this all about? And be able to meet the staff, longevity of staff, those types of things that we have at Yellowstone, and be able to see this big, beautiful facility. We call our housing that we house our youth in lodges. So we have a total of 11 lodges on that. And so we are able to have those youth come and then participate in the program. And so from there, it just expounds itself on what the program looks like.
Well, and let me interject for a minute. I just want to talk to you, the listeners. For those of you that are sitting at a computer, obviously not those that are driving, but if you're sitting at a computer, open up another window. And if you would like to be able to now visually see what it is that Gary's talking about, go to www.ybgr.org. That stands for Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch. So that's YBGR. Open up a window, and you can then look at exactly what it is that Gary is talking about. So, Gary, go right ahead. Keep going.
Well, I think, from there, we're going to go to our clinical programming. Our psychiatrists are on staff, psychologists on staff, all of our staff in the units. Our units, our lodges, as we call them, are run by clinical program managers, which are licensed therapists. And so then there's a assistant program manager that assists in that programming with them. And so all of our line staff that are working with our kids day to day are involved in their lives are also degreed people. So then from there, it just expounds into all kinds of extra activities that we get to involve the kids with. And so a very pointed point there is as far as the kids coming to our program, we get them invested into their where they're living, meeting their staff, starting their process, and then from there into the regular treatment aspect of the whole program. I think from there, it would be good for Mac to talk about the education part, because one of the things that Yellowstone is well known for is its education, and Mac being very familiar with what we offer at Yellowstone. And then we'll expound later on, Alan, on some of our other programming that was just phenomenal and what we offer to the young people at Yellowstone.
Thanks, Gary. I think a really important aspect of our setting is that we're a residential treatment center, but you don't often see that within that treatment center we have a K-12 education system. We have our own individual school district associated with the state of Montana. So we have an academic program that is fully staffed with certified instructors, 24 instructors, 14 special ed instructors. We have core curriculum that meets college requirements for students getting into four-year college, two-year colleges, into the workforce. So I often call ourselves the Cadillac. Being down here in California, I see so many Beamers and those other cars. So, but we're the top academically. We have a very, very great system academically, and I think that surprises a lot of people.
Yeah, and there's nothing wrong with saying the Cadillac. That just means you buy American.
Yeah, thank you.
So, yeah, and you mentioned K-12, and that was something that I wasn't aware of. I mean, obviously the kids that we're working with are probably maybe, you know, 8th, 9th grade, you know, through seniors. Tell us a little bit about the program that is with younger kids.
Well, it's on the school side. I talk all academic. We have elementary teachers that are certified and special ed teachers that are certified. We follow the core curriculum. Whenever we get a student, my job is to see what school they've come out of down here in California or Illinois, Wyoming, whatever state it is. And then I start working with your school very individually to see what is the curriculum that you are teaching, what is the curriculum that the child needs as they progress through their education. I believe right now we have one child that's as low as fifth grade from California, and then sixth graders on up through 12th grade. So we match up with your curriculum in elementary, in junior high, and then very specifically with each of your districts in California. And right now I'm working with 27 different high school districts out of California that I'm aware of what their credit requirement is, what their graduation requirement, whether it's into upper level to get into a four-year college. You have different requirements for four-year college, different requirements for community college, different requirements just to graduate. And so I'm very aware of each one of them for each of your schools. I work with your individual guidance counselors then, and we design a program. I think probably the most important thing that is just fantastic about us is that when we get your children, they typically have gaps in their credits. They need credit recovery. And probably more importantly, a lot of our youth that come to us have gaps in attendance. They just don't attend school, and therefore they have gaps in learning. When they come to a residential treatment center, they're ours, and they have to come to school. They're in their lodges, and they're brought over individually. They're brought over to our classes. If they get into trouble, if they start causing some problems, they don't get kicked out. They take a bit of a timeout and they come right back in. We're very different than a public school, although we meet all those requirements. We don't kick a child out. We have training. We work with them. We keep them in class. And so a child can really recapture their credits to move forward. They have to be in school. And, you know, once you're there, you start learning. It's a neat concept. If you attend, you learn.
Right. Well, Mac, I've got a question for you as it relates to like the AB 3632. I know we have a lot of parents that are out there that maybe aren't familiar with that, number one. And then the other thing is, and I'll give an example, and I was just telling you guys a story about we've just picked up two runaways, and one of them is going to a residential treatment program. We talked to the parents of the other. We directed them to an educational consultant, and they called us back and said, "Oh, never mind. Just turn them over to the police." And they were so defeated. And so I tried to explain to them. I said, well, you know, there are other avenues. So from that standpoint, if you have somebody who is looking at it saying, we can't afford a program like this, if they were to talk to you or talk to someone, you know, at Yellowstone, are you going to be able to help them either get them to an advocate or someone where they can go to their school district and get the help that they feel their child needs?
Well, I better turn that over to Gary, because I don't stay with the funding. I work with the human being straight away. So, Gary, what about that funding?
Yeah, our intake department is going to go ahead and find out as much information as they possibly can. Not only do we work with, you know, in that situation you're describing a private pay situation, but we're going to be working with funding that's coming from, like down here, the AB funding in California. So we're going to know who we can hook them up with down here that would be able to get them involved. Again, now the school districts are taking that over more than our mental health people are down here.
Right.
So our school districts are going to be much more involved. So again, we would go back to the school district, or encourage them to go back to the school district. We do a lot of insurance kits, Alan. And believe it or not, there are, you know, a lot of people don't realize that, but there are some benefits out there for their kids with mental health issues. And so more than just your weekend stay in a hospital, there are some of our insurance companies have some good packages and are going to be able to allow a kid to get some treatment. So we would look at their insurance policy and be able to see what they have and then work with that also. So there are other avenues, and our intake department does a very good job of, you know, trying to find out that information and how we can give them some direction and go along that line and where to look for some of that additional assistance.
Right. And I think you bring up a great point about the insurance. many parents out there, they may be working for a corporation and they really have no idea what their insurance will cover. And I think if you talk to someone who has the knowledge and has dealt with them, they may find that although they may not, it may not be set up to do exactly what it is that you want, but some of them will do a conversion. It's a conversion of benefits to where, you know, they'll go, okay, it's going to cost us less to have them go to this program rather than, say, an intensive hospital setting, and they will do a conversion. So I think I'm glad that you brought that up, because I think a lot of parents don't think about it. And unfortunately, some insurance companies are conditioned to answer no to whatever the question is, because somebody told them that a certain percentage of people may go away.
Definitely. You know, and definitely depending on the hospital rates and the daily, that type of thing. I mean, you can get sometimes 3 to 4 days for one day of hospitalization. So it makes a big difference. So if you're looking at a couple weeks in a hospital, you're looking at, you know, 5, 6, 8 weeks in a residential program, that makes a big difference.
So all right.
I think it's important right now, Alan, though, to let the audience know that we talked about the younger kids. We do deal with our young boys. We are licensed at Yellowstone to take young boys from age 18 to 17 and a half, and young girls from age 12 to 17 and a half. The other thing I want to clarify in that 17 and a half, we look at 17 and a half as an admission date, not as a getting out, not out of the program. One of the things we want to be very clear in the situation for our listening audience is that we can keep kids after their 18th birthday. Funding will allow that in most situations, as long as the young person is still enrolled academically. And so as long as he or she is still pursuing their high school education and or their diploma, then they're allowed to stay in treatment. So Yellowstone is one of those facilities out there that provides that opportunity for young people to stay beyond their 18th birthday.
Right, and I think that's huge, because the last thing that a parent wants when you have gone to all this trouble to set it up, because your goal is you want your child to complete. You want them to complete that, you know, that part of their schooling and hopefully go on to college, but at least to complete that part of it and to be in a situation to where they can literally sign themselves out and walk away and be, you know, a month short of graduating. I mean, it's great to be able to have that option.
Definitely, yes.
I have a young lady right now that came in the fall, and she came in and she was upset that she was there, and she said, "I'm walking when I'm 18. I know I get a walk." And as we worked with her, and she stayed in classes, she turned 18 in December. Our semester ended in the middle of January, and she's saying, "This isn't that bad. I'm going to stay." She will graduate now out of the San Diego Unified School District in May. She'll get their diploma. We've met all of their requirements, you know, and in August she's walking, and actually she will walk in May, but she'll cross the stadium floor with a diploma. That's how she's going to walk. Great example of what they do.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And that's what we want. The whole bottom line is that, you know, for the people that don't know this industry, I mean, this is a group of people that have really bonded together to do everything they can to help our next generation, you know, and to be able to see to it that they are set up to be able to go out to work. You know, if they choose to go into a trade type of job, that's great. If they choose to go into college, that's great too. But let's at least give them the tools to prepare for that.
Definitely.
So now let's walk us through sort of a typical day. I get parents that will call us, and you know, we're, you know, again, maybe we're doing the transport or whatever, and they'll go, "What is my child going to go through? I don't understand. You know, I've gone through the IEP process, but I don't completely know from a day-to-day standpoint, what's a typical day look like for my child?"
Sure. Well, let me address that, Alan. Typical day, and Monday through Friday, which would be the school week, and then our weekends would be a little bit different, but Monday through Friday, those youth are going to be up between 6:30 and 7 o'clock in the morning. Again, the boys get up a little bit later because they get a little bit less to get ready for to school, because those girls want to make sure they are looking good for school and all that stuff. So school starts, then they'll go off to breakfast. They'll either have breakfast in their unit. They have the option of eating their meals either in the unit or eating back in our central dining hall, where we do all of our food service operation out of. And then after breakfast, they would go off and take care of some of the hygienes before they go off to school. And then by school, they're at 8:15 to school. School then runs until noon, and we have about an hour break for lunch. And then we're back to school till 3:30. So a very extensive part of the day is academically. But throughout that time also, we got to remember that we have to fit in our therapy sessions and all those types of things. And so kids can be pulled out of class during some of that period of time to be able to take individual therapy and those things. So, we run our group therapies right there in the school. So a couple days a week, we have group therapy during a block period of time. So that's happening right there. And then at 3:15, after this academic part of the day is over, there'll be different things that they'll be participating in. We have anything from intramural sports to team sports to our transitional skills program, just free time, just a number of activities that they can be involved with up till about 5:30, which is dinner time again. And then in the evening, they're going to have some time where they're going to have, depending on how they're doing at school, they might have a study session. So they might have to do some study sessions. They might have open opportunity to go over to our rec center and participate in our rec center. Again, 4-H club, a number of different activities, community services. There's just a lot of different opportunities. One of the things we try to say at Yellowstone is we try to make sure that we find a niche for a young person. What is it that you're interested in? Is it arts? Is it music? Is it what is it? What is your interest? The agricultural part of what we do. We try to make sure that a kid finds out who he or she is while they're at Yellowstone and try to fit into what's going to help them. Again, you used a very important thing in the introduction of your program is building self-esteem. Mm-hmm. It's so important today with what we're working with today for these young people, whether they're 8 years old or they're 17 years old, where's their self-esteem at and how are we building them up so that they feel good about who they are and what is that, what's going to make them feel good? Is it sports? I mean, you might get a young person from down here who's never been able to participate in sports because he just doesn't have the ability to participate at that level of his high school. But at our facility, we're going to give him the opportunity to participate. And he might be able to play basketball or volleyball in competition against something, never have that experience, and again, be able to build that self-confidence in who he or she is and be able to do that. And that's the exciting part of what I think residential should be able to do for young people is to be able to draw that out of a young person and help them feel good about who they are.
You know, one of the things that you mentioned, it reminded me of a letter that I got. You mentioned hygiene, and I got a kick out of a letter I got, and I want to say it's probably a couple of years ago now, but it came from one of the parents of a child who went through Yellowstone. And what she put in it was she was being thankful. I mean, she was being thankful to everybody involved, and part of her spiritual transformation or whatever was that she was going through and thanking everybody that had been at some level a part of the growth of her child or children. And she brought up and she said one of the things that was so neat about when their child came back from Yellowstone was that they had these great hygiene habits, and that child that came back was helping her with her younger children to set up a good hygiene program for them as well because of the structure mm-hmm. that this child had. It was actually, the mom was saying, it was making her life easier with her younger children. I thought it was a great thing that we don't normally think of. I mean, we think about, you know, we get thank yous of, you know, this child turned out great. Mm-hmm. But for a mom to say, not only did this child turn out great, but they're helping me to help the younger ones as well.
Nice.
And be able to teach that young person, you know, the consistency and the importance of that hygiene activity, and even the basics of washing your own clothes, you know, and getting on a schedule and being able to do that and washing your bedding of your room so that you understand that it's more than just taking care of your body, but it's taking care of your appearance and everything else that you're involved in.
All right. Well, we're going to take a break. We are talking about positive outcomes of residential care. You're listening to Answers for the Family. We will be right back. Founded over 25 years ago to meet the needs of families in crisis, West Shields specializes in resolving adolescent issues that negatively impact the family. From preteen to young adult, we are experienced and qualified to help. We offer solutions which include referrals to a network of top professionals internationally that we work very closely with in the fields of educational consulting, psychology, and psychiatry. Our in-home crisis intervention care program helps to stabilize families and bring effective resolution. We are supported by our licensed investigation company that enables us to offer legal and expert services for locating runaway teens and more. Our therapeutic transportation services help to ensure that adolescents in crisis are safely provided transportation to specialized schools and programs with unmatched experience and success. Simply put, West Shield Adolescent Services is the best solution when your family is facing personal crisis. Call 1-800-899-8585 and let us help you. And we're back. We are talking with Gary Fleur and Charles McGann, and they are with Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, and we're really just talking about positive outcomes of residential care. Now, Mac, while we were off the air, we were talking a little bit about some of the things that you're setting up that are helping to prepare these young people for their secondary education or whatever it is that they choose once they leave your program.
Well, it's really fun working with these students. Once they get hooked that education isn't that bad, I start working with the older students, 11th and 12th graders, and we start doing post-secondary planning. Academically, I'll take those students into Billings, Montana, and we'll go to a couple of colleges, do some walkthroughs of colleges. I'll give the ACTs and the SATs right on our campus. So I'm able to work with those students at a level that we never thought that they would get to, and now they're really interested. They walk on a campus, they go to financial aid workshops that are put on by the state of Montana on different campuses or at some other high schools around the area. So the students are really getting introduced that getting to that next level is not that difficult once you put your mind to it and you start gaining your education. It's a ladder that you'll enjoy going up. So the kids like that, and our academics are preparing them to make the transition so they can do that. They can get their GPAs up. We don't give credit away. We're pretty strict school, and they have to earn that credit. But once they start realizing they can do that, it's fun to see them gravitate toward, wow, I can do this, or I can go in this direction. And I take them to community colleges. I take them to colleges of technology. I take them to four-year colleges, or we just go straight to businesses, and they learn about the certificates, the degrees, apprenticeships. So these kids typically won't be doing that in your huge, large schools. They get lost in the crowd, and they are the crowd at our school. So I get to use them quite a bit that way.
Right, and and there's so much more pride in anything when you know that you earned it, as opposed to something that you feel that they just gave it to you to push you along. Well, just move along. Let's just give this to you. They're not really going to take that with them. But I think when you're in any situation where you have really earned it, there's a matter of pride that you bring back that goes back to what Gary said earlier, self-esteem. You're going to have a lot better self-esteem when you earn that.
Well, it's really interesting when you say that. I started out in about November doing this with five students that I'd handpicked because they'd moved along quite a bit. And when we were at one of the schools, they all got free T-shirts. So they come back to campus and they've got MSUB T-shirts. And now some of the other older kids, Mr. McGann, when are you going to take us? When do we get it going? I said, well, how are your grades? How are your behaviors in your classroom? And they're starting to take pride and ownership that I can do this. Look at what these other students got to do. And it's growing. I mean, it's exciting. It's fun to see these kids want to do this.
So, and Gary, I mean, what are some of the other things you can tell us about the Transitional Skills Program?
Well, that's the other part of the program, I think, that's just really exciting for the young people. And our young people, again, are just very anxious, like Max says. They see kids get involved in it, and they start wanting to start getting involved in it. So we start with them in a process of how do I fill out an application? How do I learn how to do interviewing? So we actually go through all that process, resume writing. And then we start with them by filling out applications and interviewing with job sites that we have on campus. So we have a number of different job sites on campus, things like food service, our grounds department, our stable barn, a farm and ranch, greenhouse. I mean, it just goes on and on. We have a number of different job sites where a kid could be interested. So then they interview for that job, they get that job, and we also do an ancillary CASE post-test and pre-test to see where they are in their life skills. where they are in their job skills, to be able to find out how much we're teaching them as we go along. And then from there, we start to teach them classes on safety. We start to teach them classes on how do I stay on a job? How do I get along with my fellow workers? A very difficult thing for some of our kids to understand that process, but knowing it's very important once they get out in the job force, you know, that there are going to be some people that we have a hard time dealing with at the workforce. But how do I get along with them, and how do I still do my job and not let that affect me? So what a better environment to be able to do that in our greenhouse, or while they're up working in one of our stable programs, or those types of things. So there's just a lot of activity involved in that, and teaching them, again, coming back to self-esteem and self-worth. I have the ability to be able to do this. So, and we've developed some other programs. We've developed, just recently, in the last couple of years, we've resurrected our 4-H program. And most people think of 4-H and they're just thinking, what 4-H? That's just working with animals. But 4-H offers so much more than that, and that's why we chose to do it, because 4-H has an incredible leadership track where kids learn to become leaders. And for to be able to see a young person say, I'm the president of Canyon Creek 4-H at Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch, that's important. And then because that they get to work with the animals, they get to work with different aspects of the 4-H program, whether it be the gardening, whether it be, we got a young lady that's in cake decorating and learning how to bake cakes. Well, she's baking cakes for birthdays for everybody on campus. So as she learns how to do that, she'll work her way into this fall to be able to help compete with other people in 4-H on an official cake baking. But she's baking cakes for all these people all the way along, giving back. And it's just an amazing. She's a young lady that could be gone, because she'll be turning 18 here in a couple weeks, but making a decision to stay because this has become part of who she is. So.
Well, first of all, it sounds great, and I think my question now is, am I too old? Can we get me in?
But take you on as a staff.
There we go. No, I say that, I mean, more so because it leads me into the thought about anxiety. And I think that if a lot of you out there are, if you're envisioning this, and as I said, if you go to the website, you can kind of get a picture of what it is, you know, that we're talking about. And again, that's www.ybgr.org. Think about, you know, right now the stresses that are put on kids, especially here in the inner city. I mean, there is so much that you're concerned about. And in many cases, they're concerned. There's a fear of just going to school that's, you know, am I going to be safe? You know, so think about it from the standpoint of, you know, the concept of being out in an environment to where you don't have all those other stressors. You really can focus on whatever it is that you love. In this case, it's making cakes, you know, that if that becomes what she loves, that's what she's doing. You know, whatever it may be, working with horses, just to be able to focus on the things that you love, I think that we're going to get not only a better education, we're going to get a better human.
Definitely. Now, just being able to get the city out of their life. That's important because, I mean, and that's not bad. It's just that it is so congested and so full of so many things coming at them from this direction and that direction. You know, safety, you mentioned safety. Safety is a very important thing for our kids to feel safe. Kids don't move along in treatment until they feel safe. They have to feel safe. And so I think we provide that. I mean, just in our lodges, being able to have individual bedrooms. Kids don't have that in a lot of settings. So being able to have an individual bedroom, a place where they can, that this is mine, taking care of it, decorating it, those types of things, and then learning to grow together with their lodge and their and what's happening in there, and participating in activities and giving back to the community, those types of things, makes a very important part of their feeling safe and their self-esteem of growing back into treatment, and then being able to clear, okay, here's where I'm at, and this is what I'm doing, and I'm going to change this part of my life because this is important to me now.
You know, I would agree, Gary, and I think a big area of feeling safe is when they come into our classrooms. Our classrooms have 7, 8, 9 students, and that's it. And they'll have a certified teacher. They'll have a certified paraeducator. And then most of the times they'll have a lodge person, so 3 adults in that classroom and 7 to 10 students. And I had a problem in February, a student comes to me and says, Mr. McGann, I got to change my schedule. There's not enough kids in my class. The teacher's always talking to me. And I'm thinking, wow, what a problem to have. The teacher's talking to the child, and the child can't hide. And our teachers are trained in this, and they know how to work with these students. But the student is very important. And with that small of numbers, they get help. They get training. It's great.
All right. And we have a call coming in. Welcome to the show.
Classroom and 7 to 10 students. And I had a problem in February. Student comes to me and says, Mr. McGann, I got to change my schedule.
You're going to need to turn your radio down so that we can hear your question.
What a problem to have with teachers.
Can you turn your radio down? All right. Now, what is your question? Okay. Well, no, and that's one of the things. If you're going to call in, please make sure that you turn your radio down, because we're on about a 7-second delay. So it's going to confuse you if you can hear us talking in the background if you don't turn your radio down when you call in. So
I wasn't sure. He was talking about our small classroom, but I don't know if it was a positive or a negative. I'm not sure.
No,
what it is.
Actually, it was you. In other words, what we were hearing was you 7 seconds ago. So that's why we couldn't hear their question.
Right.
Oh, I see.
Yeah, that was you, Mac.
Oh, I was answering my own self.
Yeah, yeah.
That's right. So anyway, Mac, I'm sorry. Go right ahead.
I think that a student starts at first, it's fearful when they come into a classroom that small. And the classroom's a large room, but the teacher sees everybody. The teacher's with everybody. The parent's with everybody, that small amount. And that allows that student to get help. You give an assignment, they don't understand it, they're getting help. And they are in the discussion. When you have that few of students, every child is invited to be in the discussion. And when they first get to the classroom, that is a little frightening. But as they blossom and grow out of that, they start taking part in discussions. They take ownership in their learning. And it happens quickly with some students. And other students, it doesn't. That it's scary, you know, after being in school for 9, 10, 11 years, and now they're up front, close and personal with the teacher. And I try to help the student to understand that. And it's difficult, but once they break the ice, then Katie bar the door, the child can learn.
All right. Now, we have an instant message coming through, so hopefully we'll have more success with that than the phone call. Now, this one comes in, and again, I want to thank everybody that does send these in. This one says, my niece, who was dealing with drug and alcohol issues, was placed in a residential, quote, lockdown facility 2 years ago in Utah. How does your ranch environment differ from these hospital settings? Which one of you want to take that?
Well, I think important for us to answer that in the sense that first to let the audience know that we do deal with chemical dependency. That's typically secondary in a young person's life because there's probably mental health issues going on there before the chemical dependency issues are going on. So have a full-time CD counselor on our staff. So there's individual and group going on with them, along with their individual and group going on with their mental health therapist also. I think we've already, in some ways, already answered this already. We're not a hospital by any means, in the sense that we have the medical staff on staff. We've got our own clinic. We have all of those things that we can meet the needs of a kid just like a typical hospital, with our psychiatrists, 24-hour nursing, you know, all PA, all those types of things that we have on campus. But we're an open environment, and giving a kid an opportunity to help clear everything that's going on, being able to live in a lodge, participate in activities, going to school during the day, participating in lodge and rec activities, those types of things, is way different than a hospital setting of just living on a ward, going to and from a couple classes a day, and you know, receiving their CD therapy.
Right, and having been out there myself, it's much more like a college campus,
yes,
you know, than it is a hospital or a ranch. I mean, there are programs that are a working ranch. That's a different situation.
Right.
So, I mean, if you envision, you know, a college campus, but in a more rural area,
Definitely.
You know, if you look at it that way, that's kind of, you know, what we'd be talking about.
You know, when we have classes, it's just like a regular high school. The students in the class, 54 minutes, a bell rings, and then they move on down the hall to other classes if they're in rotation. They are taken to classes by adults. No students can be out just walking about. They are always under an adult supervision. And they might have a class, a satellite class, that's outside the main building. They've got to go over to the wood shop or the metal shop. They might go over to the PE complex. They might have to go up to the barns where the horses are. You know, we're 400 acres. That's a huge campus. The kids are out and about. It's not stuffy. When it's cold, your kids from California, they're in their shorts sometimes. We got to get them some different clothes because they're moving outdoors. They've got to move from our building over to the lunchroom. So there's a lot of freedom, a lot of movement.
All right. And we have another listener question or comment that is coming in. This one says, I'm a family therapist in New Mexico. I am happy to find out about your organization, especially the emphasis on the importance family involvement in the therapeutic process. Given you are so far removed from major airports, I am very curious about your requirements and how this works with families.
Well, first of all, we want to make sure that they know that there is a major airport within 15 minutes of Yellowstone. Okay, we're not out in the middle of nowhere, and actually there's a direct flight from L.A. Allegiant Airlines L.A. right to Billings, and so we're not removed from that. But again, it's very important because families can't get to us all the time. We stress that that's a very important part of Yellowstone, is stressing the family involvement. So we do weekly family therapies, either by telephone, through Skype, through the computer, those types of things that are involved, so families can be involved immediately. The other thing that we offer at Yellowstone that's very unique to a lot of facilities, or to other facilities that don't have, is we have housing for our families. So if a family from New Mexico wanted to fly up for the weekend, spend the weekend or maybe 3 or 4 days, we have housing on campus. We provide that free to our families. It's very nice housing, and that way the youth can participate in everything that's going on with the family, can spend the night with mom and dad, can spend the maybe get a pass, depending on, again, their behaviors, maybe can get a pass to get off campus and go do some things and, again, build that. But, again, hopefully be involved. Our therapists will have them involved in either maybe some type of family therapy during that weekend, whether it be horse therapy, our equine therapy, maybe it'd be the ropes course, depending on what they have. We have all that to offer to them, so we would give them a plenty of opportunity, encourage them to come, stay, see the kid in the classroom, see the kid in the school, participate, visit with the administration. We want our families to be involved as much as they possibly can.
I would agree with that, Gary. We love having that parent walk through the halls, sit in each classroom, go to the classes, meet the instructor, stay afterwards and visit with our instructors. We really welcome that parent participation. I think that's an important and fun part for them to see their child, see them in a different light, attending and usually enjoying classes.
All right. And we've got another instant message coming in. This one says, as a new educational advocate, what states are you licensed and accredited in to take children?
Interesting. Well, I can say where we're getting kids from.
Okay.
I think we're licensed in the state of Montana, obviously,
right,
which our license there allows us to treat kids from everywhere. One of the things that people have to understand from our California point of view is that we're also accredited by the state of California educationally, that we're accredited by them every year. And so they come down and do their assessment of us and that. But we're taking kids from all over the country. We have kids from California right now. We have kids from Illinois, the two Dakotas, Minnesota, Montana, Wyoming, obviously. We've had kids from the past from all the coast, recently just from Washington, Arizona, Texas, Oklahoma.
Alaska, Nevada, Oklahoma. Yeah, we have students from all over the western United States. I don't think there's a state in the western United States that we don't have students from or have had students. have had students from. So we, you know, we are...
We can serve a lot of kids.
Yeah, we can serve a lot of kids. And like I said, we are an accredited school system, an accredited school district. We're an NPS district with California. That's how we're clarified or classified with the California folks. We're an NPS. We meet the requirements.
Right. And for those that don't know, the NPS stands for non-public school. Now, what would be the average length of stay if a family is out there thinking about placing their child?
Right now, our average length of stay is running between 7.5 to 8 months is what our average length of stay is, particularly for our California kids. So almost a school term in a sense there. We can have kids can stay longer. It just depends on how long it takes them to get into the treatment and get involved.
All right. And one of the things that I always want to touch on before we run out of time, and that is some success stories. And I know that, you know, as a parent myself, I think one of the best things that we can hear is success stories of young people that have thrived when they've come out of the program. Yeah. Can each of you give me one of your favorite success stories?
Well, one of my favorite is just a current one, in just the sense that we just recently discharged a young man from L.A., and he came to us, and I mean, he was like, "What am I doing in Montana?" You know, and so it's like, you know, I had absolutely no desire to be there, but started to see the process, started to participate in the chemical dependency programming, started to work his treatment, got involved in our 4-H program, and actually was selected to show one of our steers this past fall in our 4-H program. And this young man worked with the steer. When he first got there, it was like, "Can I touch this?" You know, but working with it, he ended up showing his steer. His steer did extremely well in our county 4-H program, and he was so excited. His mother was extremely excited. His mother had a contact here in L.A., and she actually got him hooked up with a stable in northern part of the county. And this young man is today going to school. He's clean. He's doing well. And he's spending his weekends working in his stable. He would have never had those skills if he wouldn't have come to Yellowstone, because he got to work closely with our horse program. I mean, we've got a full horse program where we raise our own foals and the whole thing. It's a great program. And then just to be able to participate in that, it was great.
That's beautiful. Mac?
Yeah, The personal one with me is I teach a class called Career Planning, start in the fall, and the students have to learn their own personalities, they have to learn their own skills, and they're not too big on that to start with, and then they grow, they learn more and more. The kids take ownership in the class, and I've really enjoyed that. By the end of the term, my class, I had to leave class last semester at the end on an emergency, and these kids that very seldom attended school or were credit deficient, now they've really taken part. And that last 2 days of the semester, I gave the instructions to my class. I told the principal, you know, sort of watch what happens. And so on the day that I was gone, the substitute walks in. One student invites the substitute to sit down in the back of the class. Class is going to run the class. One student writes the notes on the board. Another one passes out the assignments. Another one passes out, I give treats on Friday. The whole class took responsibility, took on, and taught the class, and the substitute sat in the back of the room and was awestruck. The kids can do it. If you give them the chance and you give them ownership, they'll do it. And that happens all the time with us. These kids will buy into it. And they take the ownership, and they are proud, and they are really proud. And I love seeing that.
Well, and that takes leadership skills also. You have to be willing to take those chances to show that you've gained some leadership skills, which I think is great. Unfortunately, guys, we're about out of time. But I want to tell you, I thank you so much. Again, for anybody out there, the website is www.ybgr.org. If you're driving, if you can't write that down, you know you can always go to our website. It's answers4thefamilyblog.com. There will be information about Yellowstone Boys and Girls Ranch on there. Gary, Mac, thank you so much for coming in.
Well, thank you for having us. It's a treat for us to be here and share Yellowstone with others.
All right. And I'm also glad that we were able to give you some pretty good weather out here.
It's been great.
It's been nice. Nice.
All right. For everybody out there, have a great week, and plan on listening this time next week. Thank you.
You're listening to the home of cool, irreverent, and entertaining talk right here on LA Talk Radio.